At our morning services this spring, we're asking God to enliven us and to envision us in regard to the commitments of our church membership covenant. There are 9 commitments in all, and they're on the back of this morning's handout, which I hope you got when you came in. Do you have a look at those? My hope and prayer is that this series of talks will encourage those of you who've already signed it to press on and to persevere in those 9 commitments. And for others, that you will want to increase your involvement, your commitment to your brothers and sisters here at Christ Church by signing the membership covenant. This morning we are considering commitment number 2. It's there on the screen. By God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, I will endeavour to be regular in private prayer day by day. So we're addressing the subject of private daily prayer, praying on our own. And I want us to ask this question this morning. Why should I commit myself to private daily prayer, to personal prayer? Why does it matter? And this talk will aim to answer that with 3 different answers. The first of which is, dependent private prayer is the model that Jesus gave us. Dependent private prayer is the model that Jesus gave us. If we're Christians, then it's our goal to follow Jesus' example. And the first commitment of the membership covenant that Stephen spoke about last week is to follow the example of Christ in home and daily life. So it's about following Jesus in the nuts and bolts of ordinary life. And Jesus prayed privately in our first reading from Mark chapter 1. We heard very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus modeled dependent prayer to God. I don't think the fact that it was still dark means that we have to particularly follow him in praying when it's still dark. But what we do want to follow him in is praying regularly. The amazing thing is that Jesus prayed when he himself was God. We might think that if anyone didn't need to pray, it was Jesus. Why would Jesus need to pray to God when he is God himself? But he did. And in the hours before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus was praying alone, dependent upon God his Father. Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. By talking about the cup, he's referring to the cup of suffering that he's going to metaphorically drink on the cross, with the pain of the cross. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So at a basic level, committing to daily private prayer is something that we should do because Jesus did it. And what is more, Jesus instructs us to do it. Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus wants us to pray on our own privately. Go into your room, he says. Perhaps that's your bedroom, maybe the kitchen or the living room, maybe even the shed in the garden. Wherever you can be alone, close the door. This is Jesus' teaching. So why should we pray in private? Well, the first very straightforward answer is that Jesus instructs us to, and he modeled it to us. If we are his followers, we want to be obedient to him and to follow his example. But let's dig a little bit deeper. Why is committing to private prayer important? It's because dependent private prayer is a sign of real trust in God as our Father. At the heart of prayer is the fatherhood of God. There's a view in the wider culture around us that prayer is for losers. Prayer is for those who aren't strong enough to make it on their own. Needy people. People who are completely stuffed and have nowhere else to turn. The song Living on a Prayer is about two people who basically have no money at all. All they've got is prayer. That's the only thing they've got left to rely on. And if God doesn't exist, then we have to be honest, prayer is nothing more than a comfort blanket. If God is very distant from humanity, prayer either might be futile, or it might be that because God's so far away and remote from us, that in our praying we need to kind of wake God up and shake him, or we need some special mechanism that's going to get his attention. If God is unknown, then we have no idea who we're speaking to, and that makes prayer a lottery. But if God is our Father, then prayer is a completely different matter. Jesus is the person in history who revealed God as Father. We rather take it for granted that God is Father because that's part of Christian language. But it's not the language of the other religions. Jesus revealed God as Father. And he gives us confidence to pray to a Father God, our Father in heaven. That's how we are to start the famous prayer which Jesus taught to his disciples. So if you do pray privately, it's a good sign. It's a sign that you do actually believe in God as a Father. If you don't pray in private, or if you just pray very rarely when you're in a complete crisis, if that's the only time you pray, it shows that it may be that you're unsure as to who God really is. You're not really sure about his character. Do you relate to God as your Father? A key question for this morning. This issue is at the heart of Christian prayer, and it's why dependent private prayer is so important. The Bible teaches that when we receive Jesus and believe in him, God becomes our Father. John introduces his story of Jesus' life by writing, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's the message of John's gospel. People who believe in Jesus, those who receive him, they become God's children. That's fantastic. God becomes our Father. We become his children. What a great privilege it is to be a Christian. And this means that God doesn't relate to all of humanity as a father. No, rather it's the special privilege of people who believe in Jesus. Can you see that there's a real difference between Christian prayer, authentic Christian prayer to a father, and prayer to that kind of vague unknown God that so many people in our country believe in? Maybe 30 million on the census. They believe in a God, but they don't know anything about him. Christian prayer is quite different, and it's quite different to being an atheist. There really is a big difference. Whether God is our Father depends on our relationship with Jesus. He's the person who makes the difference. Now, when Jesus said, "Go and pray in your room and close the door," he was speaking to a particular context of the wonky motivation of many Jewish people at the time. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners." Why do they love to pray? Why do they do that? Why are they hypocrites? It's because the reason they're praying is they want to be seen praying by other people, so that they score brownie points. Their motivation is the praise of other people. That's their goal. It's hidden, but Jesus is saying this is what's really going on. And he says they will receive their reward in full, which is the praise of men. That's all they're going to get. In contrast, a true Christian motivation should be to please God and to seek his reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. With public prayer, there's always the danger of another motivation. That is the praise of other people, feeling good in front of other people. With private prayer, there's no other motive. The only person available for us to impress is God. Now, I don't want to discourage you from public prayer. We need to do that. We need to come together at our first Wednesday prayer meetings to pray together. And we can encourage each other as we pray corporately. Indeed, our praying with others can inspire us and fuel us for private prayer, so it's a really good thing to do. But with private prayer, there's no other motive. It's an expression of dependence upon God. So is God your provider who will meet your material needs? Do you trust him in that way? Private prayer indicates that you do trust him like that. Is he your sustainer who will keep you and your family going in the Christian life? Do you trust him in that way? Well, if you pray privately, it indicates that you do. Is he your redeemer who's dealt with your sin so that you don't have to fear his judgment? Do you trust God in that way? If you pray privately, it indicates that you do. Is he your Father? Do you trust him as your loving Father who will meet your needs? If you pray privately, it indicates that you do. Dependent private prayer is a sign of real trust in God. It's a sign of real spiritual life inside you. So if you do pray regularly on your own, well, be encouraged. It's a good sign. If you don't, well, may I encourage you to place your trust in God, to seek him afresh and ask him to give you faith in him as your Father. So we've considered Jesus' example and his teaching. Let's move on to our third and final reason why we should commit to daily prayer. It's because dependent prayer is the antidote to anxiety. Paul wrote in the passage from Philippians that we read earlier, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." It's a wonderful verse. For Paul, prayer is the antidote to anxiety, to anxious thoughts. And at a basic level, if we have a Heavenly Father, a God who's made the whole universe, then we don't need to be anxious about the things that come up against us in this life. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things." What a wonderful thing to say. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. But you and I know how hard it is in reality. We get anxious about stuff, don't we? Or is it just Georgina and me? I'm sure it's not. Prayer is the antidote to anxiety. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is written by the Apostle Peter. He says, "Cast all your anxieties on God, because he cares for you." A wonderful verse. We're to throw our anxieties verbally, throw our problems onto God when we pray. Leave them with him, because he cares for his children. Paul encourages us to present our requests about everything to God. all the details and circumstances of life. So we don't just pray when we're in complete crisis, so to speak, at the edge of the cliff. No, Christian prayer is about every detail, the day-to-day of life. It's a conversation where we're dealing with God through the day. Maybe we set aside a specific time, but then we're just praying as things come up, bringing our needs to Him. And what we believe about God is key to all this. If He really is our Father, who made everything that we see, if He interacts with the world, if He draws people into relationship with Himself through Jesus, then prayer is a genuine cure for anxiety. It's the most intelligent thing you can do to take your needs to a loving Father who's in charge of the universe. It makes sense. This kind of God can take care of us. But if we aren't sure whether He really exists, or if we just have a kind of vague notion of Him, if He's distant, well, then prayer is just a punt in the dark, isn't it? Do you see the big difference that being a Christian makes as opposed to being a vague believer in God? So I want to encourage you to pray privately. It's foundational to living the Christian life. And for some of you here today, the prior thing may be to pray to God, asking that He will give you a real and confident trust in Him. Maybe that's the first thing to do. If God is your Father, you don't need to be anxious about anything. I know it's hard, and I don't want to pretend to you all that this is something I'm doing all the time. I need as much help as everyone else. But the fatherhood of God, that's the heart of the matter. That's what will change your prayer life. So, members of Christ Church, I encourage you to renew your daily prayer life. In a few minutes, we will be participating together in the meal that Jesus gave to the church, the Lord's Supper. This meal is a sign of our trust in God and our commitment to one another as a Christian family. The membership covenant is an extension and a practical outworking of the meaning of this meal. So we gather around the table. We're receiving the grace of God in the work of Jesus on the cross. We're remembering that. But we're remembering that we're a family in this together, following Jesus and trusting our Father. And the membership covenant is just a practical way of extending that and working out our commitment to each other with these 9 different areas. So to those of you who are very much part of Christ Church, but who haven't signed the membership covenant, please join us in making these commitments. And for those of you who are new to Christ Church, or are on the edge of things, maybe you feel like you're on the edge, well, I invite you to sign up and to strengthen your commitment to our shared life together. And finally, if this sermon has given you cause to doubt if God really is your Father, maybe you thought, as I've spoken, you just thought, yeah, I'm not actually really sure, then I or Stephen would be very happy to talk with you and to seek to help you. That's a very uncomfortable place to be in, and we want to help you to find a sure faith. So do please come and chat with us. And Mike and Dawn Aldridge will be on prayer ministry in the tower, and they would love to help you as well. Just head down the corridor to pray with them after the service. So dependent private prayer. Let's give ourselves to it afresh over the coming weeks.